Hi, I'm Evie.
And I'm Ben.
And welcome to our first ever episode of Totem Talks, the podcast.
So today we're going to be talking about the uni transition as we see a whole new group of people make the leap from school, sixth form or college into university.
Yes, today we have the lovely Molly and Ben with us. So if you'd like to introduce yourself, Molly, tell us a bit about yourself, you're from.
Thank you very much. Now, I'm Molly, I'm from Leeds, and I recently graduated from Leeds Arts University just back in May.
Amazing. And you're still in Leeds now?
Yes, I'm still staying in Leeds now. Born and bred, never moved. Well, moved once, regretted it, now I'm back. Great city.
Moved to Bradford, didn't like it.
Not quite Bradford, bit more Selby.
And we also have Ben with us. Would you like to give us a little bit of an intro into who you are, what you do, where you're from?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm the complete opposite to lovely Molly here. I've lived all over the world, but I live in Worcestershire now, and I work for the NHS, so I'm a paramedic by trade. But what I do now is I work within mental health. Looking at it from a national level, it's something I'm extremely passionate about, so it's good to be here.
We're very, very lucky to have you here with us, Ben. Yeah, very
too kind.
Very pleased to have you. Yeah. As I kind of said before, what we're going to kind of get into with you guys is the transition that people go through when they go from, I think a lot of people maybe living at home with parents, certainly going from a learning environment, being a school or a sixth form or college, to university where there's, you know, you're a lot more left to your own devices to do stuff. And while it can be super exciting and what have you, the buzz of freshers week and
Bye, Dad.
Yeah, see ya. There's also, obviously, people don't always find it that easy. There's a lot of hurdles that get thrown at people. Mm. It's big time in life, isn't it? Molly, I guess, how did you find it? Because you've probably done it the most recently out of all of us. So, yeah, how did you find it?
It was difficult, especially for myself, because although I didn't go into halls, I did move out. And I moved out when I was 18, just before university, and I moved to the Selby, as I said, with my other half. And it was a big jump because it was, well, it's completely different, isn't it? But I think one thing that eased the transition for myself is instead of continuing on at high school into sixth form, I went from high school to a college in a different place to then university. Mm-hmm. So only 2 years prior, I had to then be put into a new place, in a new environment, meet new friends, which I kind of took it in my stride, continued on, and with me knowing the city relatively well, that was also a bit of a comfort for myself. But yeah, it was still quite terrifying.
Yeah, it's good. It can be quite daunting, can't it? Especially because a lot of the students, they move into halls, and you didn't do that,
no,
did you?
I didn't. That made things harder than I expected. But it wasn't the end of the world, and it wasn't too bad, and everything still came in time. But it just took a little bit longer, as I didn't initially get that group of people that you're able to form kind of an instant bond with in your kind of house, that little circle of security. Instead, I moved 45 minutes away from my university when I used to live 10 minutes away, which was silly, but we move. And then COVID happened, so it made the first 2 years a little bit tricky, but a really bright idea from a lot of people on my course was we made a uni group chat, so we were able to keep up with things, we were able to, you know, see when people were going out and doing things, and when assignments were due, and that helped a lot and kept us all up to date, but overall, it just came in time.
Yeah, of course. I guess we want to sort of just look at that lockdown period. Mm. You've moved, you're now away from your university as well as sort of from home. What did that look like for you studying whilst being at university?
Oh, it was difficult. It was difficult because we were all just kind of catapulted into this online way of working, which now was almost a blessing in disguise, as it helps quite a lot with, getting used to the technology. Now in the working life, it's kind of hybrid working. But when I was at home, I felt very alone because you know, I didn't really know anyone in the area. I hadn't really formed any too close of bonds with anyone at university yet, and my other half was a chef. So he worked a lot of long hours and weekends, so it was pretty much just me at home.
But
on
you got
my
good
own.
Meals at home.
Oh, yeah. Well, beautiful.
So it's about finding the silver lining, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good. When he wasn't tired.
So, yeah, I guess that kind of feeling of isolation and loneliness was obviously kind of super common throughout the pandemic, wasn't it? But I guess it's something that I know from, you know, there was people who I knew at university who felt that as well, being that isolated. And even though, you know, we were a group of friends or what have you, but it was just that change in circumstances and that kind of need to adapt to new things. Some people just don't take to it as quickly as others, do they? Like it could be... Yeah, probably good one for you to pick up on, Ben. Like any advice or tips for people who may be experiencing some of the more negative feelings around making the transition to university?
Absolutely. I think going back to what Moni was just saying, I think we need to remember that at the core of us, we're just human beings and we're not designed to be isolated from each other. We're designed to live, if you think about it, as kind of tribal hunter-gatherers amongst our family and friends. And that's a really important part of the human psyche. So to not have that is actually really detrimental, and it's impacted so many people. It's not just students, which is what we're here to talk about today, but certainly for me, a number of my colleagues I worked with for 2 years, never met them, only ever saw them on a screen. You know, so and that's not how we're designed to live, but it was a necessary evil that came out of COVID. So I think, goodness me, I've been to uni twice and I last left uni well over 12, 13 years ago. So I'm just going to have to go back to the old black and white times. But I think the really important thing I'd say to anybody is to establish those kind of core connections. And that doesn't mean loads and loads of people. It just means try to find the confidence and the resilience to make a handful of good friends through common ground and just make sure that you really nurture and cherish those connections and try and enrich them every day. We know that that's a really core element to keeping us resilient, keeping ourselves well, even if that's just a phone call or a video call. Yeah. That's so important. You know, and if you notice someone, and this is a real big one, if you are moving to uni, and whether you're in halls or in shared accommodation or whatever it is, you know, just set yourself a challenge of just saying hello to a stranger, particularly in the first week, because you will end up bonding with people, you know, for the rest of your life through your uni experience. And it's such a formative experience. It's so important as part of your development into adulthood that just say to yourself, do you know what? Every day I'm going to find one person who I don't know and I'm going to smile at them. I'm going to say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Because just by saying, hey, how are you? It's nothing to you, but it can mean the world to that other person. And enough of us don't do it anymore, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
You know, we spend a lot of time doing this.
I think when we were just chatting before, Molly, you said that's something, literally something you've done, where you've just seen someone.
Amazing.
You've seen someone and you were like, you know, okay, you're my kind of people.
Yes.
I'm going to go and introduce myself.
I did do that because I'm an only child as well, which comes with its perks and its downfalls. But kind of when I was a child, you had to go and consciously make friends. Like, will you be my friend? As an adult, we kind of think that's a bit daunting, a bit awkward, which it is. Oh, it is. But my first day working, I saw a girl and I was like, you are my kind of vibe. And I just walked over to her and was like, can I stand with you? You know, how are you and what are you doing? Figured out we'd both just started, we're both a similar age, and it just went from there. And it was similar with university. It was kind of on one of the first days, they took us on a tour around Leeds, and although I knew the area, I thought, well, it's my opportunity to get to know people outside of a classroom environment, and I can't recommend taking those opportunities enough. Like, when they give you the opportunity to go, even if it's to a museum or to the cafe or to the pub or something like that, you don't have to drink to have a good time, but going out and just being in that more comfortable environment, it gets things flowing a lot easier. And I was stood in Leeds Art Museum just playing with this random Play-Doh sculpture and I met two of my closest friends who I'm still best friends with today. And that was on the first day. And it took time, but it was good.
There you go. And you know what? That's amazing you did that. A lot of people would still be too nervous to do that.
Mm.
You know, so that's awesome. But yeah, it's just about finding that foundation in yourself. And you've got to do it, because if you don't do it...
Do you know what's really, really funny, sort of going back to the COVID side of things, It's people being able to communicate with people again. Like I was very much before COVID, I'd run up to someone and give them a massive hug. Now when I'm meeting someone, I sort of freeze because I'm such a people person, but I think my concern is how do I now make sure I know how the other person wants to be received? Yeah. So I sort of bring myself into this. Hi.
Great point. But go back to what I was saying. Ultimately, we're tribal animals. Mm-hmm. We're very tactile. You know, the vast majority of us enjoy being touched, having a hug. You know, it's something really deep ingrained inside our brains. So I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I missed that throughout COVID. It was lovely to be able to hug friends and family again. Yeah. You know, and I think providing you're sensible nowadays, I think, you know, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
There's also nothing wrong with asking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people nowadays with hidden disabilities, hidden neurological kind of different disorders and stuff like that. And some people, as you say, it's a tribal. I love a good hug. I love a good handshake. I'm a very cuddly, affectionate person, but it never hurts. It's not awkward to ask. And a lot of people, I recently saw a post and it was someone's auntie that messaged them and they had autism and they messaged him saying, next time I see you, can I give you a hug? And she made a post saying, you don't understand how much that meant to me just to ask.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with asking, no?
Definitely ask strangers.
Oh, yeah, don't just go grab people.
We're not advocating that, but yeah. Good.
Yeah, so I guess, Samuel, you obviously didn't move too far to go
not
to university.
Far, no.
Yeah. But for a lot of people, it can be their first time in a completely different part of the UK or maybe another country, part of the world. And obviously homesickness can be something that people encounter quite regularly. Like I know I moved about an hour and a half to go to university and there was times when I felt a bit of a pang of homesickness. Obviously I imagine that it's like super common for people to feel that. Have you got any advice or tips that you give to people who are encountering homesickness when they first come to uni?
Yeah, first of all, it's a really normal, healthy response. Number one, so, you know, you're not alone. Everyone's going to feel like that. You know, if I cast my mind back to when I first went to uni, I was only 17. So I was thrust into a house with 15 other people and a house mum, because we were all just under 18. And the way that we bonded is by saying to each other, what do you miss about home? Oh, I miss mum's cooking, or I miss the dog, or I miss seeing my, you know, my gran, or, you know, and we bonded over music or films that we liked at the time. You know, I'm talking mid-90s, so you guys probably weren't even born then. In fact, I remember there was an awesome movie called Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels that had just come out, and it was our first week, so we all said, you know what, none of us know each other, but let's all go and see that together.
Yeah.
You know, and that gave us that common ground, that sort of foundation. But I would say to anybody, homesickness is really normal, you know, and you should move into it and not shy away from it, you know, but talk to people around you about it, you know. As I said before, just asking, hey, how you doing? What are you missing most from home? You know, and it's about that distraction into a new conversation, and, you know, those feelings will just ebb away as time goes on.
I guess the thing is, though, you're never more than like a video call away, are you? Not like when you were at uni, Ben, and it was
you had to run to the payphone.
Yeah.
And if they weren't in, they weren't in. But I guess same. You could apply the same in terms of what's been going with COVID. You got the video call, so it's that sort of almost instant gratification, you know. And again, we're not designed to be like that.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just technology's evolved so quickly that we're lucky we have that now. So, you know, I would hope for most people that temporary feeling of feeling a bit isolated, feeling a bit homesick is just that, a temporary healthy response,
yeah.
You know, and they've got to remember, you're in the same boat as all the other fellow students. You know, you're not alone, whether you're in a, you know, you're living with your partner like Molly, or whether you're in a shared accommodation, you're all going through it together. So bond over that shared experience,
mm-hmm.
and that will stave off some of the loneliness.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I guess that sort of goes into the space of students listen to this now, considering whether they should go into the shared accommodation or whether they could do a lot of the studying from home or go to a university closer to home. But it would just be nice to hear sort of your advice to students, because you sort of lived close to university, but you weren't actually that close to university, were you? So would you advise people to commute, or would you say you wish you would have stayed in that student accommodation?
It's a difficult one, because with my partner having the job he had, it was very, very demanding of him, and we kind of had to sit down and make that decision whether it would be best for me to go into halls or best for me to, you know, do that. And we did it as a team, and he respected my decision either way, and I decided to go with him. And I don't regret that one bit, because, I mean, on a private side, strength to strength, absolutely fantastic. And he's been there all throughout COVID. But I think there are a lot of benefits to halls. I think you end up making friends for life. You also can make enemies for life, but that's usually not that deep. And it's a great way to meet people, to experience new things, to get a kind of sense of independence and everything like that, especially if your other option is staying at home with parents. However, I think what moving out kind of on my own two feet kind of taught me was how to kind of get by without as many safety nets, which obviously people that go to halls, not saying that they, you know, have tons of them or anything like that, but it was the fact that if he was out, my other half, or and when COVID hit, I was on my own. So I had to look at all the different corners of the internet and everyone on my street, get to know my neighbours, wave at people out of windows. I had to really go out there to kind of make friends and keep myself occupied. I ended up doing all sorts of random hobbies, painting, drawing.
Good. That's really good, though.
Yeah, and found out that one of my friends from college, he lived over the road to me. And if I hadn't have gone out of my way to send him that message when I saw him in his garden across the street, he wouldn't have now been my other half's best man.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, you know, series of events, and you just make that step, because everyone feels a bit lonely sometimes. Everyone feels awkward.
Yeah, you're not
whether you go into halls or whether you move out on your own, the two slightly different experiences, but it kind of gets you to the same place. You still end up meeting a lot of people and doing a lot of things. Just halls gives you that slight security of a starting point.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I've done both in halls, uni first time, and then distance second time. And I think Molly's absolutely right. All universities now have great social events on, music, comedy, you know, they've got their own welfare services. So when I went to uni the second time, I still engaged with all of that. Mm. I just drove home.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's so individual, such an individual choice. I would never tell someone what to do. I would just go, weigh up the pros and cons yourself. Mm. And I think a lot of students might try halls for the first kind of year, mightn't they? And then once they've got that foundation, they've got that social network in place, right, okay, we're going to have a shared house. You know, for year two and three and whatever.
I guess it's a practicality thing. Yeah. Well, like, when you first go into this place, you who would you live with? Exactly. If you don't know anyone there, like, you kind of need to have that thrust upon you almost.
I almost think it's kind of like a bit of a rite of passage as well. It's part of that university journey, whether you're in halls or whether you're not. Yeah. You know, it's, you're all in the same boat together. You know, and, you know, it's about, we used to say in the military, endeavour through adversity. You know, you go through something together, it makes you stronger as a unit, as an individual. You know, and I think that shared support is really important. And you'll pick up cope mechanisms and skills, like Molly just said, that will, you'll be with you for life. It's great.
It's the life, it's the afterlife, isn't it? It's when you're then going into the workplace and you just sort of step out of that comfort zone to speak to that person. But I guess there's also that point where there's people that have dropped out of university. Did anyone on your course drop out that you were aware of?
One person, but I don't think they dropped out, they moved to a different course. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, there's a stigma around dropping out, and university is not for everyone, and it's not the be-all and end-all. And if it isn't right for you, it's not right for you. I really enjoyed it, and it was definitely the place for me and what I wanted to do, but I know quite a few friends that didn't take that path, still doing fantastically well for themselves, still have a great group of friends. And it's same with kind of moving out of halls. If halls are not for you, you give it a go. You've gave it a go.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with trying and then moving on and doing what you want to do.
I think that's really brave, actually. It's really brave to make that decision. Do you know, I've tried something. I had a few colleagues of mine that dropped out of a course that I was doing with them. And it was, for one of them, it was because he was too intelligent to be on the course.
And B, I've never had that problem.
But because he was neurodiverse, he struggled with the face-to-face patient contact side of it. you know, and his skills clearly lay elsewhere, and he went on to have an amazing career. But I pick up on Molly's amazing point. He wouldn't know that unless he tried it to begin with, you know. And I think a lot of people get really freaked out by sort of thinking, oh God, I have to go to uni and I have to study X, Y, and Z. No, you don't. But if you've got to try it to then know you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and there is no shame. I think it takes a stronger person to go, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
I need to make some changes. One of my life mantras, if you change nothing, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. So make that change. And I think we should be applauding those people around us that do something.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I think we lay out so many options and say, right, if you don't go to uni and make this happen now, then that's it. You've got no chance. It's like, well, no.
It's just not true at all.
You've got the option to change your course, haven't you? Yeah. If you think, hang on, I actually don't think this is right for me, that's fine. Yeah. There's always going to be somebody somewhere that you can speak to about that who will be able to get you into the right place for you.
If I went back to the 17-year-old spotty Nirvana freak that I was when I first went to uni and I told that young man what I'm doing now, he would have laughed you out of the room.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, exactly. It's all part of life's journey and moving forward. Absolutely.
That's it. I changed course after my first year at uni just as I realised what I was doing. There was half of it that I was really enjoying and really loving. Then the other half of it, I had no interest in it whatsoever.
So what are we doing here when he's a prime example?
Yeah. There we go. So yeah, I just went and spoke to people at the university and said, look, this is the situation. Would it be possible for me to do this? And they gave me a couple of conditions, but they were like, yeah, absolutely. If you fulfil a couple of these things, then we'll absolutely do that for you. And I think it's important, isn't it, to think, what's the worst that can happen? If you don't ask, you don't get, do you?
And you can go back. One of my close friends, she went to university, she did her first year, situations occurred, and she left, and she dropped out. And then 2 years later, she's gone back, and now she's in her first year again. But she's in a much better headspace, in a much better location. She's now staying at home, and she's thriving. She's doing absolutely fantastically. It just wasn't the right time for her. And it doesn't mean, you know, you're behind everyone else. It doesn't mean that, you know, you failed the first time. It just means that you're taking the necessary steps to benefit your mental health and, you know, your career, ultimately.
But also remember, every single higher education facility has its own welfare team. Mm. You know, they are trained professionals who are there to help you. Mm. So reach out, you know, not judgmentally, email, phone, or just knock on the door.
Yeah.
And they are there to help you through any particularly hard times you're going through.
Definitely. The people at my university, they were absolutely fantastic. My lecturer, I couldn't recommend, you know, I couldn't speak enough about those two lecturers. They were fantastic people. They were like our own little therapists themselves.
Yeah.
And every day they'd check in on you. We had mental welfare checkups and everything like that. And they would always point us in the right direction, whether that's self-referral. Remember, you can self-refer yourself to a mental health specialist, and it is relatively easy to do. You can go speak to your on-site counsellor, therapist, welfare team. They're always super lovely and happy to help. And don't ever let one bad experience in your past taint the entire industry for other people, because I've had a couple of bad experiences, but ultimately it is a very, very positive group of people and they're always there to help.
Couldn't agree more. And funny story, one of my uni lecturers, who I really respected at the time, he'd been there, done some amazing work. I bumped into 12 years later on a military base somewhere in this country, and he poked his head around the door and went, I recognise you, and I recognise you. And we ended up doing some really exciting things together, should we say, that kind of bonded us, and now we're tippity-top mates.
Yeah.
You know, and he was one of my main lecturers when I studied paramedicine. So yeah, so there you go. You never know who you're going to meet at uni and how they're going to shape you.
That is leading me really nicely onto the North-South divide, because when we spoke to you previously on a call ahead of this, there was clearly a very heavy accent over that side of the room.
I never knew I had an accent. Listen, I never realised I had an accent until you go to university, and that is one of the first things that you will realise. You do have an accent wherever you're from. Even when I stayed in my own city, she's great.
You've got the southerners that want to come up and live their best lives up north. speaking from experience, but there, I think you sort of mentioned that sort of the London crowd would sort of gather, and then the southern, the northern crowd would sort of gather. But really, everybody just wanted to be friends. It just took 100%. That one person.
There was not one person on our course that was, you know, not a nice person. Everybody was lovely. Obviously, you gravitate to what's familiar. And I think when we all first started and we're all a bit uncertain, especially in housing situations as well, kind of gravitated towards the people that we lived with or people that we kind of saw something in. So that kind of led to a little bit of a north-south divide. And at first, kind of they were like, oh, do they not like us? And do we not like that? No. It was so silly. And especially after COVID, when we all started to realise that it was just rubbish and that was just not true whatsoever, we basically started going out every week as a course. And everyone's like, they're actually all fantastic people. They're the nicest group of people. And I couldn't speak enough about my course. It was only 24 of us and the lecturers, out most Fridays after a pitch, having a great time. And it just takes someone to realise, it's an age-old saying, don't judge a book by its cover, isn't it?
Yeah, and the miscommunication of sort of the tea cake, balm cake.
Don't talk about it.
Bread roll.
Don't.
Dinner, tea.
Those are the conversations that sort of can sometimes break the ice, aren't they, at the end
Never
of the day.
Never underestimate the power of talking about the weather.
Especially in England. Or a decent cup of tea. North-south divide, no.
I don't think, John, diss our tea.
I'm saying I'm not, so I'm... do you know what? We don't judge people by how they look or how they dress, so you know, you shouldn't judge people by their accent. Mm-hmm. I'm a weird hybrid because my cousins from London, so they all talk like this. and then my other cousins are from Liverpool, they all talk like this.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a little bit in the middle, but... just, you know what? Just be kind to people.
That's it. You know? Just be nice.
But also, again, going back to that primal part of our human psyche, we gravitate towards people we're familiar with in our tribes because, you know, and that is something that is ingrained in us and we can't move away from. So, you know, to do that when you first move to uni, I understand that.
And yeah, I think that's normal. Being quite flippant about it, but it is like... It becomes a talking point, doesn't it? It's a good natured thing. It's
absolutely.
Well, it's always, whereabouts are you from? What course did you do? Yeah. What A-levels did you do? Oh, brilliant. And it's great. And that's how we all initially got to know each other. And it's a great icebreaker, again, with the weather and, you know.
It's all about the team.
It is about the team.
It's got to be Yorkshire team.
It's got to be Yorkshire team.
Nothing else will
never, never come to Yorkshire and see you like any other tea apart from Yorkshire tea. That is a way to make enemies.
That's an education piece, right? That one thing. You take anything away.
Might not know that from down south. I might not have known that. So maybe that's like a pre-warning to anybody.
Whatever you're packing, you're going to go to the shop.
And if you meet an American, you know, do the... generous British thing by teaching them how to make a cup of tea.
Oh yeah, please do.
Because that is just something.
That... Recently, that kettles aren't really a thing in America.
They're not.
It's still put kettles. On the hot.
Yeah. Tea in the microwave.
Who knew?
So when I lived there, I used to get people would post me out Yorkshire tea.
Yeah.
And I used to have to boil kettle on the hot.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Boil water.
Yeah,
on the
hot.
Yeah, because they
does the whistle. They have the whistling kettles as well.
We have those here.
Yeah. I haven't had one on the hot thing.
You know, we're getting a bit off topic now. We're talking about kettles.
Sorry. Well, that brings us really nicely into.
I was going to say, yeah.
What would your three key items for someone moving to uni? What would your top three items be that you took to university?
We'll assume Yorkshire tea bags.
We assume Yorkshire tea bags.
If you're from Yorkshire and you're moving anywhere else, take Yorkshire tea.
I'm going to bow down to Molly because she's only recently left.
Oh yeah, a big one. I was having a discussion about this, and it was clothes horse.
Okay.
A lot of the time, it's a really mundane one, really mundane, but a lot of the time, you won't have a dryer, and if you use a washer-dryer setting on your washing machine, everything smells foisty. So be that one person with the clothes horse, and then you can dry your clothes, and you also get more of the...
You can make friends with your clothes horse.
Exactly.
As, well.
As in with it, or like...
Oh, yeah, you could be yours.
Using it as a talking point.
Oh, yeah. Whichever at that point.
Yeah, this is my clothes horse. Would you like to borrow it? There we go. Straight in there.
That actually also brings our first giveaway out, which is we're giving away 2 £50 IKEA vouchers on our socials. So check those out on We Are Totem.
Can't beat a bit of IKEA.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a day out as well.
Close horses at IKEA.
Close horses at IKEA.
They do.
Get a close horse
and meatballs.
I don't.
May as well.
It's my favourite day out, IKEA.
Is it?
It is.
I really appreciate your little insights. Is there anything that you felt like you wanted to say that you've not managed to say?
I think if you don't know, you don't know until you try.
Yeah.
You'll never know if you don't try.
Absolutely.
And whether that comes to asking if you can have a day off, closing your laptop, yep, going exploring the city. Don't buy everything online. Go out and explore the city. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. You meet more people. You meet new things. Just try it. Say hi to people. Even the southerners.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Be kind to yourself and to others. Mm. Golden rule. And you can't go too far wrong.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much. We'll be back with more podcasts, hopefully, the first of many.
Yeah.
If you are interested in finding a bit more out about us, just check us out on Instagram or on Facebook at We Are Totem. Check out our IKEA vouchers giveaway. Get yourself a clothes horse sorted for when you go to university. We'll speak to you all again soon.
Right, that was good.
Thank you.
Cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
Let's go.